We talked about what happens if someone has a job and you want to take his job from him. So we discussed that there's three possible problems with that. The first one is Oni Ham Hapef B'Charara. We'll see more of that Gemara tonight, that the case is if poor person is trying to get a certain cookie, a cake, and you come and snatch it from him, that person's called a Rasha. Right, that was the first problem. This guy has a job. You're trying to take his job from him. That's called a rishus, to try to take someone's job from him. The second problem with that, we said, was in the Gemara Baba Basra, it says that if someone's going fishing and he has the fish all set and the fish are coming into his, he has the net all set and the fish are coming into his trap, and someone else goes and takes it from him, that's taking something that was his. That's taking his parnasa away from him. And that was the second problem. If someone has a job and you go to the employer and say, look, I'll do it better, cheaper, whatever, that would be an additional problem. We said there might even be a problem of theft. That we said was probably not so shy. That was the first week, looking at the side of the employee, trying to take a worker's job from him. Last week we talked about what happens if you own a business and you're trying to take someone's worker from him. You're trying to take someone's worker from the business. So there, the main issue was that position one of a kind? Was this person one of a kind for your position? So there we said that there's a machokas rishonim, machokas in the Shulchan Aruch. If there's a one of a kind thing for sale, or a one of a kind person to work for you, you need this Rebbe to teach your child, no one else will do. So then it's a machokas rishonim whether the din of ani hamahapech b'charara applies. And we said Ashkenazim seem to say that it does not apply if it's a one-of-a-kind job. The Sfaradim seem to pass him that it does apply, and even in such a case, and they would have a problem with that case. Now, I thought I would do another case this week because, first of all, I saw an interesting tshuva in Ramosha, and second of, I see that these cases happen very often, even happen to me, almost. And I'm just going to revise the case to show how it could apply. First, I'll tell you Ramosha's case. And we're talking for employment. I mean, the same halachas apply for sales, but this series is on employment, so we'll say this case that Ramosha says. This happened 40 years ago. So it seems that someone was trying to get a job, I guess in a summer camp. Someone was trying to get a job to teach Talmidim, to teach some children in the summertime. And what happened was the people approached him, the prospective employer approached him, and there was a misunderstanding who was supposed to get back to whom, and the employer thought that this Reuven would get back to them, and Reuven thought the camp people would get back to him, and Reuven didn't do anything. So in the meantime, Shimon went and applied for the job. He figured Reuven must have decided not to take it, and Shimon got the job. When Reuven heard about that, he was upset, because he said, look, I was trying to get it, and you took it from me. It's Ani Hamahapech Lecharara. You took this job from me. I was trying to get it. So they asked Ramosha, and Igros Moshe, Choshe Mishpat Simin Samach, what the halach should be. Well, it's a typical thing. There's a misunderstanding. The first one's trying to get the job. He doesn't end up getting it. The second one then takes it. Can the second one keep it? A case that was... I'm just going to revise, not the way it really happened, but a case that could have happened was, I have a Sefer Torah over here. I got a second Sefer Torah, which needs to be checked. The Sefer Torah needs to be checked. So I had a sofer come to give an estimate how much it will cost to go through it and make sure that it's kosher. Then I had a second sofer come to see what his estimate would be. And then I got to thinking, second one would know that the first one had already been looking at it and given an offer, and he wanted the job. Would the second one be a Rasha to try to take it? And if the second one would be a Rasha to try to take it, what am I when I'm offering the second one this job and I'm giving him this opportunity to become a Rasha? So I thought that maybe we should get... And that can lead me to think about another case. Simon, you have... can you have... an auction, can you have you want to have estimates, right? You have a contract, you want a job done in your house, can you say, I'm going. Let's we'll have an auction to see who gives the lowest price. The lowest bid will get right a little bit. So can you do that? Because once the first guy gave a bid, so the second, because I'll do it cheaper. So aren't you stepping in and taking it away from them?
Okay.
Okay. So auctions might be different, right? Auctions might be because everyone's agreeing to the rules to start with. But how about it's not a real auction? It's the other case I said, like the case with the Sefer Torah, right? Someone comes in, right? Okay. So let's just review the case in Kedushin, and we're going to talk about two major issues here in Rav Moshe's tshuva, and then we'll get back to Mari Shaila. Right. The case was where Gidel was trying to get that land over there. Rav Abel came unknowingly and bought it first. Rav Gidel complained to Rav Zeira. Zeira said, go to Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. And Rav Yitzchak Nafcha told Rav Abba, when the Yontif came, he said, what's halacha if you have a poor person trying to get that cake? And another person comes and takes it away from him, and Rav Abba says, he's a Rasha. So Rav Yitzchak Nafcha said, so then give back the field to Rav Gidel. Right, the end of the story was, that Rav Abba didn't want to sell it to Rav Gidel because it's not a good simon to sell the first thing you buy in business, and he wanted to give it to him as a present. Rav Gidel didn't want to take a present because of Sonei Matonas Yichya. It's an Indian not to take presents from people. It's a chesidus. So he wouldn't sell it. He wouldn't take it as a present, and so no one took the land. Right, that's the case. Now, there's a Mordechai in Baba Basra. Right, the first issue we want to deal is what you've all been talking about, like, I didn't make the deal yet, it's not finished, but on the other hand, if it's not finished, if it is finished, then it's stealing. Why is it only a mafek b'karara? So what are the gedarim of where this halacha applies? Where do we say you're not allowed to take the job or the cake away from the other person? So the Mordechai in Baba Basra and Chesk Zabatim says, the only time it's caught in mahapik b'charar, when do we say he's trying to get that cake? That's only elahecha de gamru ha-pisu kevar ha-lokeach v'amachar. Well, he's talking a case of sales. That's in a case where the seller and the buyer had both agreed on a price. Then it's ratzela ze leze, they'd reached an agreement. The only thing they were missing was a kinyan. Everything was decided except for making the kinyan. So in that case, he's called a rasha. But the seller doesn't want to sell it for the price that the first guy offered him. The homeowner doesn't want to give the job to someone that's asking such a high price. And someone else went and bought it. He paid the seller more, or the contractor offered a lower price to the homeowner. Lav Rasha, he's not called a Rasha. And the proof is, because if he would be called a Rasha, so the Mordechai explains it, if you wouldn't be allowed to do that, so then people trying to sell any property would suffer.
Anything they want.
Because they would know, right? The first guy comes and says, $10 for your house. And yeah, you have to sell it to them, or take it off the market, because no one else is allowed to come make a new bid, if that would be the halacha. And the Poskim say, the Gemara always cared, the Poskim always cared about sellers, because it's bad enough for guys to sell something of his. If someone's selling his property, it must be things are going bad for him, so we always feel sorry for him. We want him to get the highest price possible. So over here, as soon as someone says a price, they can't up it anymore, so sellers would lose. So because of that, the Chachamim said that until the price is set, until there's an agreement on the price, and the only thing that's left is to make the kinyan, you're allowed to come in with a second bid. And that the Ramah Paskins on the bottom of the handout here, first page, he says all the halachas of Ani Hamapich Pecharar are only talking where they made a price, they're only missing the kinyan. But otherwise, if the mocher wants a certain price, the seller, the buyer said, I'll want it cheaper, so someone else is allowed to come in, whether the seller was a goy or a Jew, doesn't make a difference. Either way, no price was set, so you can do it. But that's not the end, right? That's not the end of the story. But if it was the end of the story, so that would make life very easy. Because until they finally agreed on everything, and the Tzichei Choshen said it would seem like that, they would have to agree on all the other details also. There's nothing left to negotiate. So then you have no right. That's the only time when you have no right to get in. But as long as there's something missing, there's the price is missing or some detail is missing, they're still negotiating, you have the right to come in and give another offer. Right, that's what it would seem. Right, But it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Right, and certainly in this case over here where, you know, the camp guy, the camp counselor hadn't made a price, they were waiting for each other to call, the second one would have been able to step in there and take the job. But Rav Moshe says, and all the posts can bring this, there's a Prisha, right, by the Sma, he says that even though the Ramah paskins that there's no Oni Hamach Becharara until the price has been decided, everything's finished, but the custom is, the minig is, that if the tour is still negotiating, and chances are that they'll come to an agreement at the end, right? It's the way business is. One said this much, this one said the other one, and they're pretty close, and if left alone, they would end up making an agreement. So that is still usher to for the third person to come in and take it away from the first one that's trying to get it. Like he's extending, stretching the Ramah a little bit. Right? The Mordechai said, and the Ramah said, that it has to be finished. The preacher says the minig though is, if they're going to get there on their own, and you step in there and block that agreement to your better offer, so then that's also awesome. So it might not be called a Rasha, but it's called Hasagas Hagvul.
That's only if you want to call in.
Right, then we'll get to that, right. That passage is talking where, right, they didn't call you. Right, the Avni Meir, so the next thing that I have on the handout, he says what Meir is saying here, that this is maybe good news, that, right, if the seller or the prospective employer says, I don't like that estimate, I don't like that bid, and I call you in to give a second one, so then that's for sure okay. Because that certainly would fit into the rule of the Mordechai, even according to the Prisha. Even though the Prisha said, if they're negotiating, they'll get there. But here the seller said, I want to hear someone else's price. And he calls you, so then certainly you can answer the phone, and you don't have to worry, yeah, but I'll be taking the job away from the other guy. Right? If I called the camp director called this counselor and said, would you take the job? Because things haven't worked out with the first one. So then, that would be okay, according to the Avnei Nezer. Baruch HaShulchan says that the Ramah is only talking in a case of, you have a one-of-a-kind thing, you have one house to sell, you're selling your one car. That's where this whole halacha applies. But if you're talking about in a marketplace, you know, you have a store and there's things going on all the time, so then he holds that will always be a problem of Ani Mavet B'Charoreh, just something to know. So Rav Moshe says in this case over here, he says about this case over here, since the Prisha says that as long as they're on the road to negotiating a fair agreement, you're not allowed to step in there. I think it's a Chiddush, he says, but Rav Moshe says over here, where if the two would get in contact with each other, they would have to agree. They really both had agreed. It's just that they were waiting for each other to call. It was like a misunderstanding. But they really did want to, if you put them together, they would have reached an agreement. So in that case, the second one has done the yisur of Ani Amapech Becharara. Right? Even though the Mordechai said that it's only talking where they've reached agreement and the only thing left is the kinyan. But if they're on the way, if they're on the way to getting to an agreement and you step in there and break it by giving a better offer, so then it's usur. And Rav Moshe said based on that, he should give up the job. Right? That's the first issue. Okay, but how about this other issue that he didn't know about it? Right? He didn't know. The second counselor didn't know that the first one had been trying. He knew he had been trying, but he thought that, he figured that since the second one had, since the job was still available, it must be the first one Reuven had said no, and now Shimon says, I can take it. Well, there's two ways of looking at that Gemara Kedushin. There's two ways of looking. The Chen Shlomo, which is Cheshuva brings down, he says that if he didn't know about it, so it's Pashit that there's no Isser. That's the Chen Shlomo, the Cheshuva brings down. What do you do with the Gemara in Kedushin? He says that Rav Yisrael Gnachru is just telling him as a Midas Chassidus to give it back, but you're not Mechuyah to give it back. Right? Because he didn't know about it. I'm a Rasha for something I don't know about? That's what Chen Shlomo says. The Divi Gaonim, right, we've used that posuk before, he brings different Svarim. He says that it applies, he brings a machlokes to poskim, that's what it boils down to. That. He says some poskim say that it applies even b'shogeg, and some say it doesn't apply b'shogeg. Rabbi Ephraim is an interesting case. He's talking about, you know, if there's someone that had some merchandise which he didn't pay the taxes on, which maybe was mutter because it was not Dina de Malchus Adina, maybe in such a case. I don't know. But he didn't get the taxes, and the rule is if you don't pay the taxes, the government takes it and they put it up for auction. So the guy that got it taken away went to the auction, he wants to buy it back. Right? If he got his merchandise taken away, so he'll figure, you know, so he'll pay, he won't get it back for nothing, but at least he'll get it back for a cheap price. And a second guy came along and outbid him. Or he put in a higher price, whether he knew about it or not. So the Beis Ephraim says that if Rav Abba didn't know it, Rav Abba didn't know at all that Rav Gidl was involved with it. How should he know? He's going, he sees it for sale sign, and he went and purchased the field. But over here, where you know you're buying someone's merchandise that got confiscated, so you should figure that maybe he made an offer on it also. So in such a case, where you make believe, you know, you don't know doesn't hurt you. So he says, in such a case, you have to give it back. But there's another voice posik saying that if you really didn't know that this guy was going to had made an offer, so then it's mutter. It's only over here in his case you should have figured that. The owner was going to try to get his material back, his merchandise back. Okay, so Rav Moshe's case would certainly fit into the Beis Ephraim, right? Because Rav Moshe ends up, he says, this is a Darbe Pashit. He brings the Chenda Shlomo and he says, it's Temua. He says, how can you say such a thing? There's no posek, no, none of the posek, I know Chenda Shlomo does, but he says, none of the early posek start making a difference between Shoging and Mezid. The ideal over here is that the Ani's trying to get it, you don't have any right to take something that someone's on his way to getting. So, and he brings a proof from the Gemara over there in Kedushin. You see that even though Rav Abba didn't know that Rav Gidl was trying to get it, he still had to give it back. And to say it's a Midas Chasidus, he says it's hard to say such a thing. So, he says certainly the second person here is wrong, and he has to give it back. And then he says, even according to the Chenda Shlomo, since Shimon knew that Reuven was trying to get the job, he should have asked Reuven what happened. It said he figures, well, Reuven, the job's still open, Reuven must have said no. Right? You have to find out before you, if you have reason to think, this is Rav Moshe's Chiddush, if you have reason to think that someone is involved with that thing that you want to buy, the job that you want to get, you have to ask him if he is, and otherwise you've done an issur. And even if you didn't, even if you had no reason to think that he was, you had no reason to ask him, but you start trying to get a certain job, and you find out that this person was on his way to getting it, once again, it has to be that without you intervening, it would for sure end up being a successful deal. So, according to Rav Moshe, you have to give it back. Right? So Rav Moshe is saying two chidushim. Both of these are in a gel halacha. First of all, it's only Oni Hamapech v'charara. If everything has been settled, except we stretch that to say, even if it's not completely settled, but they're on the way to settlement. I mean, buying a house. It doesn't have to be that the contract is in yet. It could even be that they're already close to it. You know, they've been there already a few times, and they're looking at it, and they're ready to give a contract. And you go in and offer a higher price, which, by the way, offering a higher price, the Mordechai says this lesson, if you see on the lesson we read, he says, this guy went and bought it with the same money, oh, hosif damu, or he added, he gave a higher price. Right? The Erech Shai surprisingly says, according to the Mordechai, since the whole takana was to help out the seller, if you're going to offer the seller a higher price, so then there's no issur ani hamapech v'charara. But, I don't know, I have it quoted here, but I don't know how what he does with the Mordechai itself, because the Mordechai himself says even if you add the money, it won't help. So anyway, so in this case, the guy's trying to get a house, and you step in, and for sure they would have finished. So that's already an issue, even if you didn't know about it at the time, according to Rav Moshe. Now, if it comes lemaisa, you know, someone could say, look, even the Rav Moshe says, and he was a gadol hadar here, but since it's a safek, there's the Chenda Shlomo, there's the Beis Ephraim, there's the person the Divrei Gonim bring, it's a machlok sapostim, so It could be that, you know, you could ask a shayla and maybe you'd win, because that itself is a machlokas Rav Moshe with the others. But if you're a Talmud of Rav Moshe, so that would be a problem. So you could think, I mean, it would depend on where it's holding. I mean, the case of the selling a house, right? Where are they holding? Are they holding, or are they just showing it to a few different people and no one is negotiating yet?
Really, this is the deal done. Does somebody have to come in and
So that's the last point, right? Does the seller, how's the seller fit? And we mentioned already the seller has the right to ask for a different offer. So I think that's
the
case here.
Close.
Yeah, but he told the first guy, look, you had this problem and I want it. The Piskei Choshen brings down a maisa that happened, that someone was renting out his house, right? Or he was going to be a landlord living there still, and he rented out his house to a big family. And then, they didn't move in yet, then he found someone else, newlyweds, that also went to the same house, and he wanted to change his mind. So this posseg lived in the times of the Chazon Ish. He asked the Chazon Ish, he said, it seems to me that even though there's a din of Ani HaMachtech B'Chavrara, the second family shouldn't take from the first one, but why should the seller lose out here? Why should the renter, why should the landlord lose out? We have to also think about the rights of, you know, right, the Gemara talks about the rights of the first person, but how about the rights of the person doing the deal, the landlord, the employer, the seller? So he says that he told the Chazon Ish this svara. The Chazon Ish said, sounds like a good svara, but check out some shayles and shuvas. So this sefer Halichos Yisrael says he's found in the Maram Alshuch b'feirish that the only issur is if the second person goes to the seller. But if the seller says, you know, he puts a sign up and he says, well, see, he says the seller comes to you. Your case is a little bit different. Your case is the seller just keeps his sign out there. Do you have a right to go there? Right, but certainly,
in this case, the second buyer is coming over and...
Yeah, right. But I'm saying,
I know it's a contingency on his selling here. I'm bringing you on without a contingency.
Right. So it would seem... I'm not sure. I'm not. You know, you should ask the shayla if it comes to ma'isa. He leaves the sale sign there. Yeah, I'm not sure. This we see at least that there are these poskim that say that the seller, even though the thing is finished, assuming it's not mechushei amana, like here he told him outright, look, I'm going to be looking for someone else that doesn't have this problem of having to sell his house. So the seller has no problem. The employer has no problem. So in that case, he can, like the case with the sofer, I had someone come to look at the thing, and for some reason, I didn't want the first one, and I can call a second one. The second one has no issue in coming to me, because the only issue is, the lashon of the Gemara is, the uba achra v'natla, and another guy comes and takes it away. But if I go and offer it to someone else, or in a case of an auction where they're all here bidding together, and I'm inviting them all to come, so in that case there's no ani hamabech v'charara. Your case might be a little bit different because, right, I didn't actually invite them, I just kept it for sale sign on. So, and I made an agreement with the first one. If the second one, can the second one come? I would seem it's the same thing, but you know, I would ask a shayla. So wrapping up, what we know clearly, hopefully, is that we've seen tonight two rules of this ani hamabech v'charara. The first one is that it only applies where the final decision has been made or they're on their way to making a final commitment. In that case, you can't step in and take the job away from him or take the sale, the thing for sale away from him. And it applies according to Rav Moshe, even if you had no way of knowing that first person had been involved. According to the other poskim, it doesn't apply if you had no way of knowing, but if you did have a way of knowing and you were just like acting dumb, like in the case of the Beis Ephraim or in Ramosha's case, so in that case you certainly, it would apply. And the third thing we said was that the seller has the right to look around for different prices, and if he's doing that, there's nothing wrong with the other people coming in. So if you're getting estimates, look, I'm looking for, I tell the first one and we didn't decide anything, I just said, okay, I hear your estimate, and then
my
I cross the second one,
so then
that will be okay, and the same thing will be an auction. Yeah.
Do you have a key, like if you're getting estimates?
Do you have a key to tell someone?
Do you have a key to tell someone? I'm only getting estimates at this stage. I'm inviting in other people. Are you obligated to tell me that?
It will be good policy because that way he'll give you a lower price.
Okay,
I don't know why. Why should it be? As long as you don't, as long as you're not, you know, on the way, you say, okay, thank you, I'll get back to you if I need you. Right? And that's what you say. You, if you say, okay, when are you ready to start? Come Monday. So then, you know, that's wrong. But if you, you know, if, as long as you're clear. Yeah, so the Aruch HaShulchan says that if it's a normal market, I mean, according to Aruch HaShulchan, right, if you know, they're there and it's a big marketplace and someone's starting to negotiate, you have no right to step in over there. No, but in most cases, like, you have one house. Most cases that we're talking about is it's one, this one. Say, if it's over, it's one house, it's one. Yeah, but you're selling one house. It's not like, yeah, I mean, if you have apples, then you can get apples other places or apples all around, but this is your one thing. So, that would be, I don't know, it wouldn't apply there.